need to pray for Joe Pyatt.
I got another one, too. There's a family that has come to our church. They're actually one of our church members, Johnny, his neighbors. The mom's name is Sierra, and dad's Dustin, and kids, Christian and Caleb. But mom Sierra and Christian were hurt in a car wreck day before yesterday. Or was it yesterday? Days all blur together. But they were not hurt bad. But they rolled this vehicle. They rolled this Tahoe like three times, which it's an absolute miracle that no one was killed or severely injured. Of course, they're all sore, have some injuries that they're recovering from. Not in the hospital. They get sent home. So praise God. But not only are they sore and hurting and injured and recovering, but They took out their one vehicle that they have for transportation. They have another vehicle, but it's not working right now. So what we want to pray for and what we were asked to pray for is the continuation of their recovery and for the Lord to just help them with their transportation needs. You know, sometimes we don't think about that. We say, well, such had a car wreck. You know, if they don't have full coverage insurance on the car they wrecked, they're just out. They're out of car, you know. If you have an older car, it's not really all that financially wise to have full coverage, so it's like it's not always the case. So we want to set ourselves in agreement for God to just show up big, powerful. This young man, Christian, who his hands hurt in the wreck a little bit, he gave his life to the Lord about 3 weeks ago in our church. So this is a great opportunity for the Lord to show up and show out and show off. So I'm believing God for that. Amen. Well, Father, we come before you this morning, and we are absolutely confident that you know every situation. Lord, the only reason why we even vocalize these prayer requests as we do here on the program is so that we, each other, can share information. Because, Lord, we could never come before you and give you information. You know everything that's going on with Joe Pyatt. You know everything that's going on with Neva and the way that they are in this battle. Lord God, it's been truly, these last few months have been the absolute battle of their lives, Father, and we thank you that you are keeping them strong. God, I know that if I was in Joe's shoes, Lord God, there would be times where I would be impatient and frustrated, Lord God. I know I would, but I know that you would be there with me and you would help me. I ask you, Father God, to give them patience, which means persistence, endurance. Lord, you're working a great work. You've already intervened in amazing ways. But I pray, God, that you'd give them that word of comfort, that word of strength, that word of hope that causes Joe, especially, to have the confidence that you're at work in his body and in his life and that he would not grow weary, and, Lord, that he would receive everything you have for him. And I know that Neva has mother hand over him. She's pretty good at that. But I pray, God, that you would give her rest for her body, strength for her body, Lord. You said they that wait upon the Lord will run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. I pray today that she would wait upon the Lord. And, Lord, I know that that means that she would bind herself to you and trust completely in you and not her own strength. So we just entrust that to your hands. Thank you for all the people that are praying about Joe's recovery. And Lord, we believe that we agree together, it shall be done. And Father, I lift Sierra before you and Christian who were injured, and I lift this family, Lord God, before you and their need for transportation. Father God, we would pray that you would make a way where many times in the lives of people, it just doesn't seem to be a way. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you that you preserve their life. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm not being asked to have a memorial service for any member of this family. You are so good, and you are so faithful, Father. I thank you, Father, that they are, even though they're banged up and they're sore, they are recovering. And I pray that that recovery be full, complete, and quick. And we ask for your provision to be made manifest in their life. And for those who are listening to us today, Father, maybe there is someone, Lord God, who's hearing us, who says, well, someone has passed away in my family. Where was God? And Lord, I would reply that you were right there, and you'd never leave, and you never forsake us. And Father, any person who has passed from this earth to the life after into eternity with faith in Jesus Christ, we know exactly where they're at. We know exactly what's going on, and we thank you that we have the hope of heaven and the promise of eternity. We speak grace and peace over those whose hearts are hurting in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest, we have one more prayer request before we jump back in. We want to pray for Renee, Monica's sister, who's in the hospital with infection.
All right. Father, we bring Renee before you, Lord God, and we know that you are at work in her life. Father, we see the evidence of your hand at work, and we're thankful, Father, for what you've already done for her. Father, for the relief that you've brought into her life, and Lord God, for the way you are drawing her and working in her. And Father, you know what she's facing now, that there's an infection that's developed in her body, Father. We ask, Lord God, that you give wisdom to those medical professionals that are treating her, and we ask, Father, for your personal divine intervention. Jesus, you are her healer. You're all of our healer. And we declare in faith in your word that by your stripes she was healed. It's paid for. It's bought on her behalf. We ask, Lord Jesus, for a manifestation of that. If Renee needs to hear from you personally, Lord, a rhema word that would help her to have the faith to receive your healing, we pray, God, speak to her heart. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. One word from him changes everything.
It does.
One word. And you can go from being, I don't know what to do, I don't know what's going to happen, I'm overwhelmed, to literally becoming confident in just that space of time. So if you find yourself between a rock and a hard place and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, get a smile on your face, you're about to see rock split. He's not going to let you be forsaken. He's not going to let you be overwhelmed. If you put your confidence and your trust in him, you can't go wrong. You know, yesterday my daughter Crystal was needing wisdom. She called her mom and I and pray with me. My grandson Tyler, playing on both high school and junior high football teams, has got himself in a place where he's coming home from school. He's exhausted. He's cramping in his stomach. He's throwing up. Sound like he's dehydrated. He's drinking water like crazy, but wasn't helping. Trying to drink some Gatorade, wasn't helping. Eating some, couldn't keep it down. So he went to the Cordell ER, and man, they thoroughly checked him out and wound up giving him, found out he's extremely dehydrated. But what Crystal called about was this, like, you know, we're not people who run off to the doctor every 5 minutes, you know. Oh, I sneezed. I think I better go get a specialist, you know. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God about whether we should go anywhere about anything like that. So she's praying, and she's feeling led. She said, she never normally would go to the Cordell Hospital, but she's feeling led taking him there. And she's feeling like he's dehydrated. That's what she's, you know, symptoms, kind of your brain, you can figure certain things out. God gave it to you. Use it. But don't rely only on it. So what I told her was this. I said, well, Psalms 32:8-10 tells you that God will instruct you. So why don't you turn there and we'll look at it together. Psalm 32. I was going to go somewhere else, but I kind of like the direction Holy Spirit's taking me. Psalm. Yeah, Psalms 32. I don't know about y'all, but I will never forget that. I can understand, though. Maybe it was just nervous. I'm giving credit. I'm being generous. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you. I believe this is the Lord speaking to us. I will instruct you. I'll teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. That sounds good. Don't be like a horse or a mule. I think that was for me. Don't be like a horse or a mule, which have no understanding and must be controlled by bit and bridle. They will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the person, the man who trusts in him. And I told my daughter yesterday when she said, Mom, Dad, she said, Dad, Mom, pray with me. You know, I feel like I should do this, but I don't know. And I said, well, you've prayed. You've asked God for wisdom, right? She said, yep. He promised he would give us wisdom, right? Yep. This is what came into your mind, right? Yep. I said, so just let that decision, you've made your decision, now let it sink in. I said, are you rebelling against God right now? Are you saying, God, I want to go do this? No, you're not. You're trying your best to listen. You're trying your best to hear him. You're trying to be led by him. He promised in his word that if you just don't act like a stubborn horse or a stubborn mule, wanting it your own way, that he was going to instruct you and lead you and guide you and watch over you. So if you're not rebelling, if you're not kicking against him and trying to have it your way, and you've asked for wisdom, and then something has entered your mind, I think I should do this, well, go for it. But before you go for it, decide to go for it, and then see if the peace of God's there. And I said, I'll tell you one thing, girl, how you'll know for sure that if God's in your decision. Because I know my grandson, he don't go to no doctors. I'm fine, leave me alone, you know, 16. Well, he willingly agreed to go. Crystal's like, well, there's my confirmation. And went, and man, they did all kinds of tests, and they went 2 IVs through him. And he came home about 11:30 at night. He was there for, I don't know, 2.5 hours, something like that, 3 hours, I don't know. And came home feeling good, feeling much, much better. So God is faithful. Mm-hmm. And you can be confident in this. He is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He will guide you. He will counsel you. He will watch over you. Just don't be stubborn. And if you're not being stubborn against God, you can be confident that God is with you. He's for you. What do you got to worry about? All right? Amen. Let's look at this in Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Boy, this particular part of Hebrews is really good. It's all good, but you know what I mean. Let's go to verse 13. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Maybe you needed to hear that today, because I wasn't going to read that verse. Nothing in all of God's creation is hidden from his sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. I'm going to send that word to Washington, D.C. Yeah, you people better get your act together up there, because I guarantee you ain't sneaking nothing under the table on God. Hallelujah. And wherever, you know, world leaders might be doing things. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, verse 14 says, Jesus, the Son of God, in case you just dance and didn't get it. We have a high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Do you profess faith? What do you mean profess? What's that mean? It means to say it. I profess to you I'm a Christian. I profess to you I'm trusting God. I profess I'm an American. I profess I'm a male. I profess my name is Dwight. These are things I say. These are the professions that I have. Confessions would be a word that would very, very similar. You could say this is our faith confession. You could say this is my faith profession. Same thing. So he said, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. In other words, don't be wishy-washy, talking faith one minute and doubt and unbelief the next. Mm-hmm. He said, hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15, for we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he was without sin. In other words, don't act like you're coming into the throne room of grace to talk to the Father and to talk to Jesus, the Son, who sat at his right hand interceding for you. Imagine walking into a courtroom. You look up on the bench, and the judge is your Abba, your dad. And sitting right next to your dad is your brother, who loves you so much that he literally took all of your punishment for you to make sure that the father who's sitting on the bench would have a legal right to always declare you innocent. Do you get that? That's your situation. That is your situation. You're walking into a courtroom where the judge is your father, your brother's already paid the whole price for every wrong thing you've ever done, and you're going in there to get a judgment, a settlement, a ruling on the law to get what rightfully belongs to you. So you don't just, I know this is a newsflash for some people, you don't just go to court because you're in trouble. Sometimes you go to court to get what rightfully belongs to you that someone's trying to withhold. That someone is the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So we're coming into a courtroom where Abba is on the bench. Our brother Jesus Christ, who happens to be our high priest. Let me give you another word for that. Advocate. Let me give you another word. Lawyer. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. And it's not like Father God was ever against us. He's not. But he's legally bound to do what is perfectly righteous and just. So therefore, on our own qualifications, if I came into the throne room of grace without Jesus being Lord of my life, I have no right to be there. Mm-hmm. I have no right to ask for anything. Except forgiveness. That's all. And I would certainly get it, wouldn't I? If you come into that throne and you ask forgiveness, I don't care what you've done. Except for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you got no desire to go to the throne room of grace. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you don't have no desire for nothing of the things of God. Amen. Some people struggle with that. So why not touch on that? Because they're like, well, I think I might have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I'm like, are you concerned about it? Oh, I am. Then you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Guarantee you that. And then here's a weird one, too. So a lot of people grow up experiencing the power of God and the emotionalism, the emotional experience of being in the presence of God, but they don't know the word from nothing. And they're real sensitive about offending the Holy Spirit, which is good. You don't want to offend the Holy Spirit. But you need to understand this. There's no way you're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit accidentally. Because it's the one thing that the Bible says you cannot be forgiven of, not in this life or in the life to come. And if you want context about what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the Jews, the religious Jews, wanted to discredit Jesus, even though they knew that God was working through him. They didn't want him becoming Messiah right in front of them, and then that brings the... They thought Messiah came to overthrow the Romans. So if this man is Messiah, he's come to establish an army, and they're going to try to overthrow the Romans, and our whole temple system is going to be out the window, and we're not going to have our hoity-toity positions, and blah, blah. He's going to incur the wrath of the government, and we've got to shut this guy up or shut him down. I mean, they hated Jesus more than Democrats hate Trump, I'm telling you. They want to shut him down. Maybe not all Democrats do hate Trump. Some Republicans hate Trump.
Right.
Let me give you a word. Don't hate anybody. Yeah. That's all I got to say. Don't hate anybody. Pray for everybody. Don't hate nobody. Okay? But here's the context. They knew that Jesus was operating in the power of God. And he was casting out demons. And the crowd was going berserk and going, this is the Son of David. This is the Messiah. And the Jewish religious leader stepped up and said, no. This man casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And Jesus turned to them and said, I tell you the truth. Any word spoken against the Son of Man can be forgiven, Jesus. Any word spoken against the Father can be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, not in this age or in the age to come. That, friends, is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It is to knowingly and willfully attribute the work of God through the Holy Spirit, attribute that to the devil because you don't like the messenger. If you have never called the work of the Holy Spirit the devil's work, you say, well, oh my gosh, when I didn't know better, I said that when people speak in tongues, it was the devil. Absolutely, you didn't know better. Let me tell you something from your brother Paul. He said, I persecuted the church. I put Christians to death. I was a blasphemer, he said. Blasphemer. He blasphemed God. He did not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And he said, I was a blasphemer, but I did it in ignorance. And God forgave him. Listen, you can't in ignorance blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You can't accidentally blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You have to willfully blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that when I'm sharing to you from scriptures, I'm not talking about this what our doctrine is, this what your doctrine is. I'm not talking about doctrines. I'm just talking about this what the Bible says. The only place in the New Testament talks about that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the context I just mentioned. And it was the Jews talking about how Jesus was using the devil's power to cast out the devil. And Jesus went on and told them too. He goes, listen, duh, if Satan's divided against Satan, his house won't stand. Only people can cast out the strong man. Someone stronger than the strong man goes in and binds him up. I mean, he was trying to straighten them out. They wasn't having it. I realize that some people say, well, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to willfully reject the lordship of Jesus. And you won't be forgiven. I'm like, if you don't receive the lordship of Jesus, I agree you will not be forgiven, but I don't agree that that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I just don't agree with that. And we can love each other and disagree, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I don't believe that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is because there are many people who reject Jesus over and over and over and over, mm-hmm. and then they come to a place where they don't reject Jesus. So if to reject Jesus is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and you did it once, you're toast. You're just toast waiting for an eternal fire. So don't worry about it. If you have any concern at all, have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? You haven't. Because the only reason why you're even concerned about it is that the Holy Spirit's drawing you to a deeper relationship with Jesus. And you have a Father sitting on the throne who loves you with a love so powerful that it motivated him to send his only begotten son. And you have a brother in Jesus, a Savior in Jesus. Jesus is God, but he took on the form of our humanity, lived a sinless life, as this word in Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. He was tempted in every way, even as we are, and yet he was without sin. So he's gone through the emotions and the feelings and the thoughts of everything you've ever gone through. He may not have gone through every single circumstance you've gone through, but whatever it was in your circumstance that was it was provoking you to feel or think, he has had that. Fear. He's felt fear. Confusion. Karen, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yeah, he's quoting from Psalms 22. He's quoting what was prophesied of the Christ that would be hanging on the cross. But Jesus is not hanging on that cross quoting the memorized script, people. He's going through it. And when we're going through it, he's going through it with us. And he understands us. And what I want to leave you thinking about today is this. God doesn't want you going through life wondering if he's there for you. Have I messed up? If you have, God's there to help you clean the mess up. You know, it doesn't matter have you messed up or not. The only thing that matters is your heart right with God through Jesus Christ? Yes. Well, then he's for you, not against you. And he'll guide you and he'll counsel you and he'll give you wisdom and he'll give you the fruits of the Holy Spirit are in you. You just need to tap into them. Some people say, well, I'm not patient. Well, I agree, you're not. But patience lives in you, so why don't you tap into it? Why do you need a bunch of self-patience when you have God's patience living on the inside of you? Tap into God's patience. Don't try to live in your own. Most of us, you know, are like a doctor that just started his practice. We don't have near enough patience. Ha ha. Let's finish this in Hebrews 4. We looked and it said, you know, he was tempted in every way and he was without sin. This is the last verse of the day, Hebrews 4:16. So let us then approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence. Not worm belly crawling, poor, pitiful, I know I'm sorry, example of a human God and I know I don't deserve nothing. If I was God and you said that, I'd go, okay, you're dismissed. You're right. You don't deserve nothing. Be gone. He said, that's not how God is. I'm glad he ain't God.
I love you, Pastor.
I love you, but I'm glad you ain't God. I'm glad you ain't God either. Watch this. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. Watch this, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those that earnestly seek him. So you come before God and you don't expect to receive anything. You're not even sure if you're supposed to be there. I'm going to tell you something straight up. That's not pleasing to God. Just not. You need to realize this. Unbelief is not pleasing to God. And when you doubt the righteousness that God has given you through Jesus Christ and you want to come before God based on your unworthiness, but yet I need you, get over yourself, lay yourself down, take Christ up, come into that throne room of grace confident in Jesus, not confident in you, confident in Jesus, confidence in the love of God, confident in the grace of God, confident in the goodness of God, confident in the mercy of God. And don't talk about you when you get there. Talk about him. Mm-hmm. You don't come into a king's presence and start bragging on yourself. You come into the king's presence and start bragging on the king. That's powerful right there. Mm-hmm. If we will apply it, when we come into the throne room of grace, let's be focused on him who is grace, on him who is mercy. And there, because of his grace and mercy, we can receive help in our time of need. But we have to come into the throne of grace in confidence, not in incompetence. Confidence. Rest. God loves me. God is love. God is good. God is merciful. God is kind. And because of that, I believe he hears me when I ask, and I, because I believe he hears me when I have the petition I've asked of him. Amen. So, Father, I pray today that you would help us all to walk, not in some self-induced arrogance, but, Lord, in humility, of a confident humility, confident in Jesus, confident in the work you've done on our behalf, confident in your word, most importantly, confident in your love. And I pray, Father, that when we come into the throne confident in your love, that, Lord, we would receive answers that glorify you in such a way that no human being could take credit for it. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
We appreciate you coming and sharing with us.
Well, I appreciate getting to be here.
Good and powerful word this morning. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It's the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.